It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than not knowing you're dealing with a real mother effer. You can join the chat room, the Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page. That's where Pip will be. Audio is better on davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Joe, are you there? No, he's not. Why do I bother? And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
It's good. It's good. It's better.
Good. On the show, the 2022 Worst Moms Countdown and Scamming Scammers. Normally, I feel very confident going into these countdown shows that I have the stories that will win in a landslide. This time, not loving my lineup. Not loving it at all. Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah, you know, had to make some tough calls. Not really the creativity I was looking for that I've sought after in past years. Not necessarily the horribleness. I will say this. About my search this year. I perhaps put in different search words than I have in the past. So, like, after, like, a page or two, all of a sudden, I was getting, like, porn titles. But I didn't realize until I clicked on them, like, oh, no. Oh, no. That's not what we're looking for this.
Oh, crap. Oh, crap.
I think one of the searches I put in, and I never revealed the searches, but, you know, like, mother punishes son, mother punishes daughter. So you get that, like, Google search, get, like, a page and a half of stories. Next thing you know, hey, wait a second.
I'm going to say this again. During the search, you're looking, it's like, not violent enough. You know, it's like, what's wrong with us?
Oh, well, I really don't have a lot of violence this year. Maybe because I'm over the violence. I don't know. I just you want to keep on doing better and more creative. You know, I really feel like we've had some special moms in the past.
What we should feel is astounded and soul searching whether you really want to discuss the one you brought up. There's no shovel involved. Damn it all, this ain't gonna.
I know. I know. It's like, wait a minute. I get disappointed when the children have been killed, so I can't use it. Not because the children have been killed.
Right.
Which makes me worry about myself.
Right. So when you have those parameters, you know, it's hard to find somebody who's special and worthy. I just,
And we also have been having difficulties because we've been, you know, I'm arguing is, you know, par for the course here, but we've been arguing about what makes it the best story. And sometimes it's, you know, the amount of injuries.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just the creative injuries. It's the level of depravity or the creativity involved in the depravity. I mean, all of this is not a good look for the three of us.
I will say this about my number one choice. I will say this about my number one choice this year. You know, a lot of times I feel really good, like, oh, this is a clear-cut number one. This was not a clear-cut number one. I just like the sous-sante of extra
douchebaggery and assholishness that this mother brought to the table, that I'm like, all right, you know, this is not my strongest number one ever, but I will argue, lady, on your behalf that you are indeed the worst mother of the year. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that all of these mothers would be so thankful for our efforts.
I like to
in
think
trying
so.
To get them to that, you know, penultimate challenge. Who's the worst mother of the year?
All right, speaking of mothers, I don't want to get too political, but it is the news of the day of the Supreme Court leak that apparently Roe versus Wade is going to get overturned. I don't want to talk necessarily about Roe versus Wade because we're not really the show for that. I will, but this was the thing that really struck me. So we all watch in various amounts the nominees, the Supreme Court nominees, go in front of the Senate, and we're all nauseated by the Senate, with regardless of party, when they grandstand. It's like, ugh, you're trying so hard to please your base. It's normal. Well, none of us really like that. But they do ask questions about how they feel about established law, law that prior Supreme Courts have decided. We call that precedent. And that is important, whether it be left, right, whatever the issue is. And really, when they're going before the Senate, this is really, in my mind, their job interview. Because for this short amount of time, the Senate is their bosses. Now, once they're on the Supreme Court, that's no longer the case. But for this certain amount of time, the various members of the Senate are acting as their bosses, and therefore they're acting on our behalf. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I see these nominees, and then eventually most of them become Supreme Court justices, outright lie about how they would rule on certain cases, it pisses me off, because here's why. I can imagine if any of us or any of the people listening outright lied on a job interview and then got caught, we would be fired. That would be it. You said you would do something else. You said, blah, blah, blah. We have it right here. And you did the exact opposite. We have to let you go. We have no recourse. And it's not just about Roe versus Wade. It could be Heller, you know, with handguns and, you know, gun rights. It could be anything. So it doesn't have to be a left-right thing. I just have a real problem with these people lying, doing whatever they feel it takes to get onto the Supreme Court. And then as a parent, you know, you try to teach your kids, don't lie. Well, what about the Supreme Court justice? Well, I got nothing.
Let me ask you a question, just so I can get a framework on this. What do you mean by lied? Who lied?
Gorsuch lied, Kavanaugh lied, Coney Barrett lied.
In regards to?
Because they were specifically asked about Roe versus Wade, and they all said in varying ways that it was decided law. That it's not, and the thing is, if it's decided law, you know, you can narrow around the edges, which is what they do. And listen, people who like whatever the cause is don't like that. But you could go, all right, I see what they're doing here. Here's the subtle difference that makes it okay. I mean, a lot of people don't like it, but I wouldn't call it a lie. I might think it's a lie, but I wouldn't.
But I think at this juncture, I think you're putting the cart before the horse, and I'll tell you why. Basically, there's speculation about the ruling. And also, the most key thing here in this whole thing is who released this.
Well, that's not the key thing. That's a problem. That's a separate argument. Well, that's a separate discussion.
It is a problem, because basically, if they're releasing this, it's for an agenda for the debate to happen, and for pro-life and for women's reproductive rights.
Or the other argument is somebody on the right released it so that these judges can't go back on what they're doing, because this is just a draft. So invariably, that, you know, there's some bartering and horse trading, and they do a couple things differently. So we don't know if it's the right or the left. I want to put that aside, though.
The thing about it is that's more concerning is that why they did it. Did they do it... Did they do it before the midterms? But there's conjecture that a lot of Democrat voters don't really vote on that sort of a policy. That's not the decision more of a Republican.
Yep.
On the Republicans, then why would they do that and probably shoot themselves in the foot? There's an agenda behind it being released, and whoever did it to that agenda has to be called on the carpet and held to a standard. When this actually comes out, the ruling comes out, regardless if this is why, there's changes to it, whoever voted on it, then you could bring up that statement that you made. But the most important thing right now is who released that, because it's detrimental to the court. It's detrimental to the Supreme Court ruling where they're putting something out where they're letting public opinion maybe rule against that.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's assume, and we all agree that it should not have been leaked. I think we all agree that. Put that aside.
Yeah.
Put that aside. Whoever did it, you know, whatever they can do to that person, I'm in favor of. Should not do it, because now you've violated that. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. But here's the thing. If we are at a place now where various courts will overrule prior courts for political agendas, we are essentially a lawless land ruled by politics. Again, whether you're conservative, liberal, somewhere in between, that should scare you. This is a real problem. Listen, there's a lot of people who do not like Citizens United or what Scalia did on Heller or Roe versus Wade, whatever. So you have it on the left and the right, these landmark decisions. But we've always operated where, like, you could take away on the edges, try to make a narrow decision. But for the most part, to outright overrule these landmark decisions, something that in this case has been law for 50 years, we essentially are a lawless country ruled by politics. There is no longer any branch of government to trust, because, you know, who's ever in power, the other side's not going to like the executive branch. Nobody likes the Congress and the Senate. Nobody ever likes them. The one thing we had was you had the judicial branch that was respected, which is what Chief Justice Roberts has been fighting for. But because of Mitch McConnell, really, really accelerated this, it's so politicized now. And again, I bring it up, you know what, if you're really a right-wing conservative and you like this Roe versus Wade thing, fine. But just keep in mind, in a generation or so, they could do it to gun rights or something else. You could have a bunch of radical left-wing judges that would come up with some excuse to do away with something that you cherish. It just puts us in a very unsafe place. Plus, also, you know, by all the polling, only 30%, 20 to 30% of the people want Roe versus Wade overturned. Again, we are once again in a position where the minority is ruling the majority, and that never works in any country during any time. It's just all dangerous stuff. But yes, I agree with you, Joe. We do need to find out who leaked this, and that is a big problem, and they should be, you know, held to whatever the law can do to them. I don't know what can be done, but we just got the problems just got worse for this country because of this. Whether you think it's because the leaking, which I agree is a problem, or because of what you see these radical judges doing, which is a problem. And you also have to look at that Donald Trump never won the majority of the people in either election. I know that's how the country decides a president. I'm not saying it should be different, this, that, the other thing. But he got to decide on three presidents. Three Supreme Court justices because of shenanigans by Mitch McConnell, and he was never the popular choice of the people. It's just not good. It wouldn't be good if it was reversed and the left was doing this, if the left was in the minority and throwing their weight around and imposing things that the vast majority of the people didn't want. It's not good either way. So I'm just saying, take the politics out of this, which is hard to do when this is extremely political. It's just not good for the health of this democracy. And it's disconcerting. So, like I said, I don't want to get into the whole Roe versus Wade thing.
Just the one. One point of debate on this, and basically, it goes back to the constitutionality of Roe versus Wade. And if you have these judges deciding on that, they are there to make the law in the terms of the Constitution, which they did say in their hearings. I rule on the Constitution. If they feel now that there's no constitutionality with that, that might be their decision on rule.
Yeah, but Joe, here's the problem with that. This Roe versus Wade was not a narrow decision. It was a 7-2 decision with conservative judges. We were just in a place where you didn't have radical judges at the time. We have radical judges now. You can't put a moderate judge. You know, I don't know what Jackson's going to be, the one that Biden put on. So I can't speak to that. But we knew Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Coney Barrett had radical views. Trump said he was going to do this. Trump said, I'm going to take my list from the Federalist. What is it? Not the Federalist Papers. I don't remember what it's called. The Federalist Organization, whatever, which is a far-right group. It's not even. It's out of step with most mainstream Republicans. This is nothing new. It's just not good for the country when you're ruled by fringes, right, left, or anything else. It's just not good. And this is another thing. So you know what, Joe? Maybe we're seeing an outcry of this. Maybe somebody's doing something they would never do before, leaking something, because now they've been radicalized. Nothing good comes from any of this.
That's true too, and with the with that document, it's a first draft. Who knows if they're not? You know, who knows? So, I mean, to discuss it in conjecture, yeah, you know, that's fine. And your point and my point, I'm just wondering where this is actually going to wind up, where it's going to go. And it's going to be very interesting where if they are ruling to abolish Roe versus Wade. Will there be enough outcry from the people to pressure them to do it?
Well, there's no recourse because you'll never get enough Republicans to go along with it. And the Democrats don't have enough people. You know, you'll never get enough Republicans to make a law to go along with the Democrats on this, because as we've talked about before, the Republicans have to kowtow to the religious right. This is going to be the law of the land, so you're gonna go state shopping, venue shopping, abortion shopping, you know. And and I'm not saying anything new here. You know, if you have money, you can travel three states over to get your abortion to a more liberal state. If you don't have money, regardless of your color, you're really screwed. And we've seen what happens when women don't have access to abortion. They wind up dead, maimed in emergency room. It's just. None of us here are like, oh, we love abortions. There's nobody on this show that loves abortions. We're just looking at a bad situation and trying to think, what does the least harm? And this is not going to be good. That's all.
Yeah, and if you're pro-life, you know, basically it's a religious thing, and you should make it, you know, you need to make it freedom of religion. You know, so to overturn this after 50 years, literally 50 years, I think is just going to be such a, you know, a boiling point thing. So it's interesting where this is going to go. And on somebody leaking it, I'm very torn on that, where you're desecrating the court if you're leaking something like that. But something like this is so important, so polarizing. That to do it, I think there was an agenda. I don't know, and if, whether it is a far left agenda or a far right agenda, I don't know.
Well, you know what you have now. Now you have everybody in the court looking sideways at each other. The same way, you know, Congress and Senate look sideways at each other. Whose clerk is the one who leaked it? Which judge is the one that went to the press? Because there's reasons why the right might have done it. There's reasons why the left would have done it.
I think it might have been. And this is a guess. I think it might have been a clerk with a leftist agenda or an alertist agenda that leaked it out, that feels that the polarizing effect of the law being overturned is worth the penalties for doing it or the desecration of that.
Yeah, but they're really not gaining anything by this, because the election's in November. So you're better served waiting till the decision comes out in June or July. I really don't know what they were trying to gain from this.
Well, what they were saying, oh, I'm sorry, Pip.
No, I was just going to say, it's not clear to me which side's agenda this serves exactly, except that, you know, to get people really riled up before the midterm elections.
Yeah, well, he was saying on this morning at WOR, they had, you know, some legal experts in and political experts in, and he said that, you know, and that was brought up. Well, this is a fine thing to happen before the midterms, at least for the Republicans. And he said that, you know, Republican voters are for that, but Democratic voters really on their voting agenda don't really have that, traditionally have not had that as a means to change.
I don't think
party or change of, you know, vote.
I don't think this is going to move the needle that much come November on election time, especially if we're still dealing with inflation. You know, if we're still dealing with inflation, everybody's going to be worried about that, and understandably so. Listen, you know, if you can't pay your bills,
after they discussed that, I'm sitting on the Long Island Expressway. I'm heading to the day program, and I'm going, you want to know something? I don't know where I stand, but I go, you had that, just leave it there. And then, you know, they were talking about something else where, I forgot what it is that such and such a policy is, people are saying that it's not fair to the blacks and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting and I'm looking around and I go, all people want to do is go to work. And you're sitting here all around wondering what's the first thing we're going to do at work and how our bills are getting paid.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what's going on with the family. Those are the three, you know, when am I going to get to work? What's the first thing I got to do? How are my bills getting paid this month? How am I getting the kids through that? That's all. Nobody, yeah. You know, I want more black rights. Well, Black Lives Matter. Well, you know, Israeli rights matter. Well, nobody is sitting there. We're just trying to get to work, pay our bills. Hopefully we get.
Well, let me correct you. Let me correct you. There are people there. Not the majority of the people there, but there are people there that this is their issue because Jesus Christ told them so, and that's what it is. It's not us, but there's a minority of people, and I agree with you. Most people just want to get through the day, get through work, pay their bills, go home to their family. They don't want this shit, which is why Donald Trump's presidency was so tumultuous because politics was in our face all the time, and we were fighting with friends, family, and neighbors now, which no matter what you say about Biden, I know you don't like him, and plenty of people don't like him. At least it was
everybody everybody can agree Biden's fucking us. So,
well, no, I don't agree with that. But at least it's quiet. At least it's quiet.
Go to the supermarket to buy gas or look at his policies and look at the border, you know.
Well, we got other problems on the border. Listen, if they want to smuggle over some cheap food, I'm all into it. You know, come on over, just bring some cheap maize with you, some cheap
avocados.
Corn.
Seeking some avocados.
Yeah, bring some cheap avocados. Avocados are getting more expensive.
Stop and Shop, but,
What'd you say?
They're still 3 for $5 at Stop and Shop.
Yeah, but they used to go on sale for like a dollar a piece, sometimes even less. It's an avocado is a tasty treat.
If you're talking about Lidl, they're small, and you better eat them fast because you're only going to get 2 days out of them.
They're small. How long do you need an avocado to last?
A week. I like to get a week out of the damn thing. Plus, you got to ripen up. You buy it for Lidl, I mean, Jesus Christ, you don't even make it through the car ride. They're bad, you know?
No. Well, that's what happens when you get them at the discount store. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. That's why I love when they say that's the whole list, suspiciously low prices. Why should I have to be suspicious of the price? What are you people up to? What are you feeding?
You know what they're up to. Those avocados were smuggled in a Peruvian's ass. They haven't seen light in days.
All right.
All right. So that's the Roe versus Wade thing without getting too much into Roe versus Wade. Just what's going on.
I got to add to the story. I was in a boat one time and it was taking on water. And I thought that I would be able to make it to the other side of the pond. And I had to sit there and I go, Roe versus Wade. What do I do?
Oh, God. Wow. Oh, I can't believe you had the nerve.
Wow.
No, Joe, no. Dad Joe.
Well,
no.
Much like the case, the boat overturned. And that was the end of that. All right, let's move on. Jesus Christ. He is very happy right now, I guess. All right, Cat, there's been so much going on. Let's start with the cat, Nacho. Let's start with Nacho.
Yes! Nacho!
He won't let me do a tail ID on him.
You know the rules. You have to meet the cat. When you come here to meet the cat, you can do tail IDs.
Nice.
Yeah. Whose tail is that?
Whose tail?
Whose tail?
It's Pip's tail. It's Pip's tail.
Who?
Stay away from Pip's tail. You'll get a surprise. All right. So the day after our last show, I'm petting Nacho, and I'm standing over him, and I'm leaning down to pet him. Next thing I know, he's wrapped around my leg, all four claws dug in, sinking his fangs into me like I just ate a tuna fish sandwich that doesn't taste right, and I'm traveling with Joe. That type of vitriol is in him, because you know how Joe feels about the one time I had a tuna sandwich that was a little askew.
And you ate the whole damn thing like a dope.
I was fine. Nah, well, anyway.
Should have swapped it for a chicken salad.
Right. So he's wrapped around my leg, claws out, teeth sunk into my leg. I am looking into his eye. There is nothing but murder in his eye. So I yell at him. I go, no. And he immediately gets off. And then he starts doing this thing. Like he's going to puke. I'm like, seriously? You just attacked me and now you're going to puke on my floor? What type of bullshit is this? But he did.
And he pointed to himself with his little paw and he said, cat.
Yes. He did not puke. He did draw blood through my pants. I mean, he really got me. And this is the
he definitely wasn't playing.
No. No, no, no. This is the psycho.
Lisa 2i says, still a cutie. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm glad you appreciate me. Anyway. But this is the psycho aspect of the cat I had heard about, where it was a good cat until it wasn't a good cat, and then it was a ferocious cat. Because up until then, he'd been good. But we noticed the noise of all the work here stresses him out. He would pace. And nothing was going on when he attacked me. So, you know, we started thinking that it was in the best interest, in his best interest, to rehome him. Be in a place that didn't have as much noise going on. Being with people that could really work with him. Because right now, with what's going on in our house, the last thing we need is a psycho cat. We really don't. We need a sweet cat. A lovable cat. We don't need a psycho cat. So we came up with that hard decision, discussed it with my daughter. You know, said, listen, this is what we got to do. I called Pip because Pip had met the cat and Pip really liked the cat. I told her what happened. I wasn't going to lie to her. And so she was interested. She had to discuss it with Mr. Helix. I also discussed it with the woman who I got the cat from. And she's like, well, there was somebody else who wants the cat. Let me reach out to her and see if she still wants the cat. So that was on Wednesday. So the woman still did want the cat. So we were going to bring her over on Thursday. Going to bring him over on Thursday evening. But then me and the wife started thinking, you know what? This cat's been moved from home to home. There's a lot of noise going on. We know he has an ear infection. There's probably something going on with his lip. Is it really fair to do this to this cat right now? Or whoever's going to take this cat right now? Because if you just keep on uprooting the cat, it's a problem. And also, he had attacked me two more times after that. I should have. He snuck up on me twice, claws out, got me from behind. He's a stealthy cat. So then we started having second thoughts about it. And then, like, all right, well, I started looking for cat behaviorists, but you can't find a cat behaviorist in this state.
There's a guy on TV on Animal Planet, Channel 57, every morning at 8. Turn him on.
Yeah, My Cat from Hell. Yeah. We ordered his book. Have not read it yet. We ordered his book to try to deal with this. So we also got a pheromone collar, which should calm him down. There's pheromones that calm animals, cats down. So we decide. Now I'm keeping a wide berth from this cat. I don't like this cat at this, and the cat don't like me.
With a biker.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Ken White is saying that he can't hear me or Joe.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Lisa said that she couldn't hear me either, and she thought that you planned it that way.
I have no idea why. I hear you fine.
Well, they're both on Facebook, and they're not hearing us.
You could send them the Zoom link.
We're very low in the mix.
Actually, we're not over here. For a change, actually, everything is good over here.
Huh, so that's really strange. I hear all of us fine, but I'm listening through a different way than they are, you know.
I'm not really sure how, you know, what to do because I can't see the equipment.
Is Mr. Helix in the house?
He is. I don't know that he would be able to troubleshoot this.
Well, no, but what I was going to do is ask him to log into Facebook and try to listen in another room.
Oh, gotcha. So. Gotcha. Hang on a second.
All right. We will. Hey, honey. Where are you? What? Get that sweet ass in here. I just noticed Pip's background is all blurry. Like I just got like an eye test, and they put eye drops in my eyes afterwards.
Oh, it's hysterical!
Your background is all blurry.
Mine is all blurry on purpose.
Yes, I know, dear. That's what I was saying.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I don't know why the audio is. We'll see if Mr. Helix can hear. All right. So anyway, continue with this story. Right now I'm doing the talking anyway, so they're not missing much. So we're like, all right, we'll get this pheromone collar. So we call up the woman who was going to take the cat. She was going to take a kitten, but she decided she was going to take this cat. And she is very angry. I just bought $300 worth of toys and supplies for this cat. And my wife's like, well, you could return it. You know, you can return. Oh, I took the stickers off. You could still return it. And my wife's like, explains, like,
get a cat. Why don't you just go out and get a cat?
She could have the kitten. But now she has her heart set on this cat. She hasn't even met this cat. This cat has issues.
Wait till he sinks her fangs into her. She'll have a change of heart.
But see, that's the point. I mean, to move it, how is she going to handle this cat if this cat's psycho? You know?
That's her problem.
So then my friend who I got the cat from spoke to her the next day, and this woman is still very angry, and she makes my friend send her some money towards the cat supplies.
Are you kidding?
Get out.
The balls. I would have laughed in this woman's face.
Sent the money, I'd say fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, my friend's like, well, you could get the kitten that you wanted. I don't want the kitten anymore. I wanted this cat. You don't even know this cat.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Helix says that he cannot hear me or Joe either. And Ken White says, audio stinks.
So go to davincomedy.com. Listen there.
Yeah.
All right. Listen there, because that audio should be fine. I am looking at what goes through that audio.
What about people that are watching on Facebook?
I don't know, Joe. I haven't done anything different. I don't know what the issue is. I mean, I could, if you want me to end this feed and put it up again, I can do that. But I mean, we're actually not having any issues with sound right now. You actually sound good. I don't know what to tell you. I can send you guys another invite if you want.
Maybe we should try that.
Oh, you know what, Pip? You know what? Here. Send them the link that I sent you.
I did.
Put it on the Davin's Den Facebook page, and they could join in, and they should be able to hear the same thing, and then their little faces will show up too. Or they could do it without video. So that should do it.
I gave them the link to davincomedy.com.
No, what I'm saying is... Oh, yeah. What I'm saying is give them the Zoom link I sent you.
Oh, so that they can listen on Zoom?
So they can participate in the Zoom room.
All right.
I mean, I don't know.
Do we want this?
Well, if not, we'll kick them out. But I can mute, you know, they have to put the volume down. Their volume has to go all the way down, so tell them that. And then and we won't be able to hear them. So they can still type to you, but we won't be able to hear them, but they should be able to hear us, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know what to tell you. I did nothing different with Facebook. Nothing different with Zoom than I do every week. Zoom is not the ideal way to watch this show, but it's what we do now, I guess. All right. So anyway, I'm talking about the stupid cat. So the cat is attacked. So then we take the cat to the vet. Just what I need, another vet bill with everything that's going on. And he said, Well, where do the attacks happen? The attacks have happened right in my office or outside of my office, which was where his home base was. When we got him, he was isolated here. So we got to take all the stuff out of there. Also, he was just neutered, so he might be having hormone surges and everything. So like a woman going through the change, this cat might be going through the change. So I'm dealing with a psycho hormonal cat.
Great.
And he's also got a lip infection to go along with his ear infection.
A lip infection?
Yes, a lip infection. Aww. Also, I was advised not to wear those pants for a while because he attacked me while wearing the same pants. They were like workout pants. All right.
What? Because those pants triggered him?
He could be. He could be very sensitive to workout pants. I don't know this cat's history.
Well, I know that your cowboy hat triggers Joe.
That's true.
But yeah. I didn't think those pants would trigger a cat.
Well, you never know. So, to this day, we still have Nacho. There have been no more attacks. He's a good boy. He's very affectionate. I still don't trust him 100%. But we still have him. So, that's the update on the cat. Now, the cake gig. Friday, a few weeks ago, I have a gig. So me and the feature act noticed that there's a sheet cake. And I'm sure Joe will agree with this, but we both know that cake is comedy death. Cake is comedy.
Yes.
You can't compete with cake. So we're wondering, when are they going to serve this cake? Because this cake really does control the show at this point. When will this cake be served? So, The host goes up, does a fine job. Guest spot, the booker of the show, does a fine job. Feature act goes up there and slams. Has a great set. Has a really great set. But then after him, when the host goes up, some people start wandering in. What are they holding? Cake. Now other people are going out to get said cake. So now all of a sudden, we have half a room. And the half of the people that are in there are wondering, you know, I want to be courteous to this guy on stage, the host, but is there going to be cake left? Cake has completely destroyed the situation here. And it's a weird cake. It's like a water-themed cake, but it's like the icing is green. So apparently, and there's a shark. So apparently this shark is swimming in an algae pond somewhere.
Why so specific? Does it have to be like the color of a certain body of water? It's like water is usually depicted as blue.
I think green was on sale. That's what I'm guessing. This
was did on. They have a colorblind cake decorator that day?
I don't know. So the
blue and green are issues.
The host is up there. And the vast majority, and half the people aren't in the room, and the people that are in the room aren't paying attention. I tell the booker, I'm like, you got to have an intermission. I mean, you can't just have him keep on going up there talking. It's not doing him any good. It's not doing the show any good. And we debate whether intermissions are good. No, they're not good, but this is worse. You don't want an intermission, yeah. But you got to call for an intermission now. This is not good. He's just, and I certainly don't want to go up with this thing, with this going on. So she goes to the side of the stage. She tells him to announce an intermission, which he did not do immediately. He's still going on and on. I'm like, what's he doing? She's like, oh, he wants to finish this joke. It's a long freaking joke.
and who is this again?
I don't want to say who the comic is. I don't want to say. I'll tell you.
It was the middle act or the MC?
It was the MC.
And he wanted to do a long joke in the middle.
Well, no, he was doing the joke. The booker at my behest told him to take an intermission, and instead of announcing the intermission right away, he wanted to finish this joke, which was a very long joke. Why? Why do you want to finish the joke?
That's not why? Your job. Tell him there's cake and get off the stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, why is he telling, he's the MC, why is he telling any long jokes at all?
Well, that's another good point. So finally he announces intermission. We come back. Now, at this point, if you're going to go back up there as the host, you got to do a couple really quick, short things just to, you know, not too much thinking. Get a quick laugh. Get a couple quick laughs. Bring up the headliner. This is not a good situation. I can only assume he does not have quick jokes because he did not do quick jokes. So he did longer jokes. Then he brought me up. Set was fine. Set was good. It was not as good as the feature set. We could never recover from the algae-colored sheet cake. We could never recover from that, which is disconcerting. So then I'm walking off the stage to the back of the room. Some drunk guy gets in my face, goes, "You're a real liberal motherfucker. You know where you are? We'll burn your ass. First of all, we're in Jersey. Relax." He goes, I go, "First of all, you don't know my politics. Second of all, the only thing you got right is I am a real motherfucker."
What is wrong with this guy? Is he drunk? Is he really
no,
drunk?
No, he was drunk. Now, his wife is...
What, is an asshole at a comedy show? That's odd.
I know. So his wife is holding on to him with one hand, trying to get him to sit down, and holding on to a lot of raffle tickets in another hand. So then, shortly after this, the guy looks at me, gives me the thumbs up, and goes, "I'm leaving, like I care." But the interesting thing is, his wife stayed. She's had a lifetime of this guy's bullshit. She does not care if he drives into a tree drunk. She wants to see if she won the 6-inch sub at the Sandwich Emporium. So she is staying.
Oh, of course. People go get rabid over that shit.
So then the booker said, you know, since the Chris Rock Will Smith slap, she's had put together three shows, and this is the second time in three shows where an audience member has gone after the comic. Said it had been years since she had seen that. Also, Kevin Israel posted, and Kevin's a friend of the show, been on the show. After show, a guy comes up to him, a guy who was yelling at him the whole time on the stage, goes, "Hey, man, I know it was really hard on you, but, you know, you did that Christian joke, and we got to, you know, we're not going to take that from the Jews or anything. And if Will Smith taught us anything, it's like comics can't say whatever you want." So apparently a lesson has been learned from the Will Smith slap, where all those liberals decide to clap and cheer for their guy until the next day or the day after, when people are like, "Why'd you chap it clear?" "Oh, no." So apparently this is becoming a problem that we all now have to deal with.
Well, you got to answer them like Mike Tyson did. You punch them in the fucking face, and then they're like, "Uh-oh."
I would, Joe, but I'm not as good at boxing as Mike Tyson.
Yeah, easy for Mike Tyson to do.
Yeah, I am to boxing as Mike Tyson is to public speaking. So.
Or singing.
Yes, yeah, so it's not there. So then we fly out. And we fly out to Phoenix. I drive 9 hours round trip on Saturday night to fly out to Phoenix. Go on very little sleep. My wife. Now we're at this. We get there. And we have like less than an hour to get ready for the first soiree. Have to look nice outside soiree. And my wife's boss is there, and Muckety Mucks are there. Now for me, there was an open bar and lots of tasty food. I am tired. I have had a shit few months. I decide I'm going to drink and eat like a Viking.
As long as you're not going to rape and plunder like a Viking, I'm all for it.
It was on the table. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have... Now, for me, you know, I can't drink with Joe. I don't drink that much. For me, drinking a good amount was two IPAs, which were very good, and a mojito, which was meh. But by then I was already buzzing, so really, who cares? You know, and I was tired anyway, so I started to feel buzzing. So my wife's boss gives a speech. So then, when he's done with the speech, he's standing where I want to be because there's food that I have not yet seen.
Behind you.
and you're probably thinking it's a beefsteak. You need somebody to go, "Oh, my comics need to get to the food. You need to move."
Yes. I need to get to these tasty treats, this food. So he's standing there. And I say to him, hey, man. First of all, I introduce myself. I tell him who I am. You know, my wife's husband. Not like, oh, world famous comedian Davidson. Not that one. No. I tell him, you know, what my wife's husband. Yes, obviously I'm my wife's husband, stupid.
Your wife's husband.
I tell him who my wife is, and I say, hey man, that was a really good speech. You know, I like the way you did ba 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 and the teamwork and everything. Da 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 da. What did I do? I did something I never do in real life. And I think you will both attest to this. I kissed a little ass.
I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. The wife's boy.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, it's what you should do, but I'm scared nonetheless.
So I go back to the table, and my wife and her coworkers that we're sitting with did not see this, but they are blown away. It's like, oh my God. I'm like thinking he can't fire me. Now, remember, this is the boss that a couple of years ago my wife had asked how come other members of the team besides salespeople don't get to go to President's Club. And this president comes from sales. He was a salesman, and he pretty much publicly undressed her in front of the company about why it should only be salespeople that get to go. But in other companies, it's the whole team. If you achieve these certain levels, it's the whole team who gets to go. And my wife's boss's boss fought for my wife to go. So that's why she was there. He put himself on the line. So we really didn't have the, my wife was told, you really don't have the option of not going. Cause you could take the money or you could go. We could use the money, but we had to go. So
you got to learn how to work. As I've gotten older and wiser, believe it or not, half of everything is learn how to work the room.
I will tell you something that none of you will believe, especially Joe, because he's a miserable cuss. On that particular evening, I was quite charming and delightful. I turned it on.
You had to be.
What, are you trying to kill us?
Well, I wouldn't mind, but no. Not specifically. No, but you know what? I was outgoing. I was jovial. You know, all the stuff. We've been to pub. We've been to events together. I don't like to talk to people. I yell at Pip when she talks to
Neither
the Uber driver.
Neither do I.
I know.
For somebody, the people don't like to go up and talk in front of a microphone. I just like to sit in the corner and be left the hell alone.
Yeah. But you know what? It worked out. My wife was very happy. So then we'll wrap this little part. Then we'll go to the net. So then on the final night.
Well, wait a second. Lisa wants to say that nothing is wrong with that if it furthers your agenda. And I have to agree with that.
Yeah, but normally I can't choke down the vomit of repulsiveness I feel towards myself for kissing ass. It's I can't do it. But I did it for my wife because she was really nervous. So
yeah.
So we go on the last night, and she's like, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm going to walk up, and I'm going to talk to my boss. I'm like, okay. Do you want me to come with you? She's like, no, I can't have you looking at me while I talk. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. She's not going to drink tonight. Two drinks later. So her boss is sitting at a table. Again, another speech. Her boss is sitting at the table. I don't go up with her. And she just, you know, thanks him for including her. And, you know, I gave her some pointers. Like, she's like, what should I say? So I gave her some things to say. And she said, and he was very gracious. She comes back. She tells me this. And then she goes, I forgot to tell him who I was.
Left that out. Yeah, that's something. Yeah.
Oopsie.
Oopsies. But
you need to fill that blank in. Yeah. Hi, I'm.
Or, you know, at least wear the name tag.
Well, they had name tags on the first night, but they were with the magnets and they kept on falling apart.
She's probably watching too many meet and greets, where people just come, oh, it was great, thank you so much. You never need them to tell you who you are. So she probably thought it was like a meet and greet.
Well, no, because I told her you want to say something specific that you like or appreciate.
Like your name.
Well, that's too. That's a good point. You know what? That was my error. I assumed she would get that part right. That was my mistake. But then when we came home, she's like, can you help me write an email? So we wrote a very short email. He responded. Very nice. Very gracious. Good. Did what she needed to do. She represented the people that put her in that spot well. She talked to the boss. She did a great job. It was great. Now, on Monday, we did. We went to see these bells, Chrysanthi bells. He's an artist. Be made. And then we went to a botanical garden, which Pip would have loved, where they had Chihuly glass, which Pip really loved and everything. So we did that. Then on Monday night, we went to a Diamondbacks baseball game. Where there was more Dodgers fans than Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are god-awful this year. But, you know, we had a good time. So Tuesday, which is our last day there, and then the event is Tuesday night, we're just going to hang out by the pool and relax. I find out my mother has COVID. So,
oh, my God.
And she sounds terrible. You know, she's coughing badly. So I'm like, you have to go to the hospital. I don't want to go to the hospital. Nobody wants to go to the hospital.
No.
You have to go to. So, you know, I got to fight with her. First of all, she didn't want to tell me. I had to hear it through secondhand sources, which pissed me off, you know, because she didn't want to tell me. So she goes to the hospital. My dad takes her to the hospital. And they're like, and she's coughing like crazy. They're like, okay, you have a, and now I should say this. My mom is 76. She's morbidly morbidly obese, and she has a chronic cough. COVID got famous off people like my mom. Yeah, I mean, COVID sees my mom and goes, ooh, fresh meat. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very scary. Now, so my mom goes there, and he's like, and she's coughing. He's like, well, this is a mild, the doctor's like, this is a mild case. She's had four shots. She's like, if you didn't have the four shots, you'd be, you know, it would be much more serious. Go home, take some Tylenol. What? You're not even going to test her? You're not going to give her anything? Go home and take some Tylenol. Look at this woman. This woman should not just go home and take Tylenol. You tell me to go home and take Tylenol. You know, you know, and I'm not in the best shape in the world, but I'm not her, and I'm 30 years younger. So,
right.
So that's Tuesday night. Friday. Oh, and if you get worse, come back to the hospital. Really? Thank you, stupid. How about you do something here? What?
How about you do something now?
Yeah, really. So
they want you in and out. They want you in and out. They chase you out of there.
So Tuesday's completely shot. Finally, I hear about this later on in the night. But the one relaxing day, you know, I'm looking at flights. Should I fly home tonight? And there's such a time difference and everything. Come back home. Friday, I talk to my mom. She's like gasping for air. And coughing. She sounds much worse. I'm like, you need to go to the hospital. I don't want to go to the hospital. Like, you need to go. You sound terrible. So I go, she has an oximeter. So she takes the oximeter, which measures the amount of oxygen in your blood. If you are below 94, you are supposed to seek medical attention. She tells me she's 93. Turns out she was actually 89, which I would find out later.
Oh!
I said, you have to go to the hospital. Well, I'll go tomorrow after lunch. No, you don't go tomorrow after lunch.
Maybe we'll play mahjong. Where's your dad in all of this?
My dad. My mother has done to my dad what comedy has done to me. Beaten the life and joy out. Now, like me, maybe my dad had it coming. So I don't know, but he can't argue with her. I mean, he could try to argue with her, but he can't argue with her. I said, this is what I tell her. I go, listen, if you don't go to the hospital, I will call the ambulance to your house and you can explain what's going on. Now, I'm going to be vague about this, but Pip will know exactly what I'm talking about. My mom and Pip have a condition in common that a lot of people look down upon. So to explain that condition, would my mom wants no part of. But I pretty much threatened her. I said, if you don't go to the hospital, I'm going to call the ambulance and you get to explain it all. So then she's like, okay, well, I just want to eat something first, then we'll go. Fine, eat something. Because you know what? You're at the hospital. Who knows when you're going to get a meal again? I get it.
Yeah, have a nosh.
Have a nosh. Exactly.
Have a nosh.
So
yeah,
she,
I mean, like, you know, some people are also like, you know, I just want to, you know, maybe like I want to take a shower and put on clean clothes. Like if they're in their pajamas feeling sick or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, people just want to feel like well prepared to go. I get that, but wait until tomorrow after lunch. No, no, no. That's too much prep time.
No. So she has something to eat. She goes to the hospital. This time they admit her to the hospital.
Good.
So her oxygen was down to 89. She's wheezing. She's coughing. She's on oxygen. They're giving her oxygen. She's the only COVID patient in the hospital. Only COVID patient at that time. She's the only COVID patient at the hospital. Who's the attending physician? The physician that was there the last time. Are you kidding me? This knucklehead? Are you, really?
Here's some more Tylenol for you.
Seriously. So then my parents' neighbor is another one of the physicians there. I guess he was working the ER then afterwards. So then he ordered a whole battery of tests. Turns out my mom, in addition to COVID, had double pneumonia. Had fluid.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Had fluid in both of her lungs. Again, this could have been avoided. Here's the thing. Let me stop here. Here's what pisses me off. How did my mom get COVID-19? My parents went away for Passover. Remember years ago I told you I entertain at this hotel for Passover where I pissed off the rabbi and I don't entertain there no more? But where Jews go for like the holiday and everything. Like this organization, these organizations will rent out the whole hotel. Okay. So if you want to be like my parents, you want to go to this event, you have to get tested 3 days ahead of time. Not really good enough. Really, testing should be on when you get there, if you really want to be honest about it. Fine. Okay. Fine. Not thrilled with that. Now, my parents have been very safe for the past 2 years. Very safe. Now, the staff at the hotel does not have to be tested or vaccinated.
Oh, no. Fuck that.
I'm guessing they can't get help. And honestly, the organization should have said, we're giving you all this money. If you can't do this, we're not going to give you our business. But they're probably like capitalists, like, well, we couldn't do this the past 2 years. We're going to make our money grab and, you know, luck be a lady tonight. So that's how my mom got COVID-19. If I was asked, I would have said, don't go. But I wasn't asked. And to be fair, I had so much shit on me going on, which I will get to, by the way. Had so much stuff going on. So I didn't say anything. So now my mom has fluid in her lungs and fluid around her heart, which I believe is congestive heart failure. I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
Which sounds
yes.
Awful. So she's like coughing, wheezing. She never had a fever during any of this. Never had a fever during any of this. And again, they're calling this a mild case. I had COVID-19. I did the show with COVID-19. I looked and sounded like shit. If you want to call that a mild case, okay. I had a mild case. I didn't wind up. I could the whole time. I could breathe. I never had breathing issues. You know, once you start having breathing issues, let's not call it mild anymore.
Yeah.
So she's been in there. Now they emailed us. Just found out a little bit before the show about possible rehab places. So it looks like she's going to get out of there fairly soon. But I've been dealing with that. It's like on top of everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I don't post.
I'm so sorry. That's really terrible.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
So now, very quickly, and then very, very, very quickly. So also, I need a new roof.
I thought you knew that.
No. The roofer came to look at the roof in like January, February, and he's like, well, you know, it's a 30-year-old roof, but you might get 2 or 3 more years out of it. We're not getting 2 or 3 more years out of it. It's so windy. When you start seeing the shingles wave to you, hello, and then they wind up in your backyard.
Hold on. At what place? The old place or the new place?
The new place.
that the home inspector, should have told you that. You need to sue this guy, Davin. When my home inspector here told me I was on the roof, you don't need a new roof now, but you're going to need to get one in 3 years. Had video, had everything. You knew. You got to sue this guy.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't leaking at the time. If the roof is leaking at the time, then you could go to the seller and go, hey.
What were the conditions of the shingles? If you're telling me that it was flat. He should have picked up on this if he knew what he was doing.
They were old. I'm not going to go after him for the roof. I'm going to go after him for the bathroom. But my attorney said it's going to cost you $10,000 just to sue. So basically, basically what you want to do is document everything. And then what you want to do is show them everything and go, listen, if you don't give me something, I'm going to put this up on Yelp and social media. And that's what we're left to. So we have to redo two bathrooms and the roof and with everything else that has broken and gone on. We are out of money, kids. We are out of money. So Saturday, I go to the old house to mow the lawn and the lawnmower broke. Of course it did.
I'm sorry, the what happened?
I went to the old house to mow the lawn, and the lawnmower broke.
Jesus.
Because why wouldn't it break? Why wouldn't it break? Now, supposedly, I am the buyer of this house gave his attorney the signed contract and the check to put in escrow. Was supposed to be delivered yesterday to my attorney. Said he was going to deliver yesterday. His attorney has not been done yet. But suppose I should be under contract soon, so we could.
Good.
But the amount of money that has left this account, but between my wife getting a new car last year and the unforeseen things in this house has been nonstop. So very finally, and then I'm going to let Joe have close out the segment. So I'm hired to host a gig on Saturday night. It's below my normal rate for a Saturday, but I can use the money. So I'm taking pretty much a lot of stuff I wouldn't normally take. So no audience shows up. I know the booker's going to pay me. She's a new comic. I could really use the money. Still, I don't want to take her money. I'm within my rights to demand it all. I'm within my rights to demand half. I don't want to take her money. And honestly, my mom's in the hospital wheezing and everything. It tells me she has double pneumonia. Everything's breaking. I'm not really in the mood to do a show, to be honest with you. I left the house because that's the job. Comics don't get to show, don't get to call out depressed. We don't get that luxury. So nobody shows up. So they want to do like a workshop. All of them, like there's like five or six of them. Yeah, we'll all do like 8 minutes for each other. I'm like, no. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is host a workshop. I don't want to host a workshop. I'm like, one of them's like, well, you get something out of this. I'm like, no, I will get nothing out of this. She's like, well, you still host the show. I told her, listen, if I hit that stage, you're paying me everything. Or I leave now. And you pay me nothing.
Forever hold our peace. That's a good way to put
that.
And let me tell you, you and I disagree. I think the workshops are beneficial, but I understand you're there. I just want to go home. But if you get to the workshop, you got to see, to go up, you do your 5 or 6 minutes, but you've got to sit through a lot of shit. Sorry.
And I got to host it. Well, what is that? And listen, if I was there for a workshop on a Wednesday night and that's what I was there for, okay. I mean, I wouldn't, but if I was, okay. I was there to do a show. So I left. I think all of the other comics, and they're younger comics, I think they looked at me as an asshole. But really, I didn't want to take her money.
Right. No, actually, you were taking the higher ground.
Look, if you talk, look, I, the gig's not. Look, don't pay me. I get it. Well, you want to hang? No. I gotta go home. I got stuff going on. Let me just go. No, you're not an asshole.
Should I have taken the money?
Yeah. No.
So yeah. Will a lot of these guys open micers?
I don't know. I don't know what they were. I hadn't seen them. I think they were newer. whatever. You know, I really don't get a lot from that workshop scenario anyway. But at least if I was going to be doing, if I was doing with like peers, like Joe and Chip or whoever you want to say, peers, again, I don't get a lot out of it, but at least it's people who know me, know my voice, whose opinions I respect. You know, maybe I'll get a nugget out of this. I don't know these people. They don't know me. And I'm working on something very specific. So.
Yeah. Mm. No, you did the right thing, I think. And also, you know, if they don't understand, well, that's just too bad. Let them workshop together. Have fun, kids. But you didn't have to stay for that. It was the better thing to do.
Yeah, I went.
No, you go home. You know what? Look, I'm just gonna go. You don't have to pay me. It's fine. You know, and yeah, it's but well, we want to do a workshop. We'll have fun. Enjoy it. I got a couple of things going on, so I got to split. Yeah.
I think they were taken aback when I said, "Well, if I hit that stage, you're paying me."
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's too bad. That's where you are. You know, maybe they're not to that level yet, but that's where you are.
You know, it's funny. A friend of mine had the same type of thing. She's like, you know, I got this new ego, which I never had. She's like, but you know what? If you've been doing this over 20 years, you know, you deserve some things. You know, like a certain amount of respect and all. So yeah. So okay.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I can tell you the truth. I'll do, like, when I go do the workshops, it's like I'll go there and I'll wait my turn to go up, and I usually stay during the whole thing. You know, sometimes I gotta go, but they were talking about like the etiquette on the Long Island comedy page about do you stay, do you go? And it's like if you show up and you're one of the last guys on, obviously you got to stay. But the you know some of the guys that are like going up third or fourth, if they go, you know, they're like, well, you know, stay during the whole thing. Do you stay at least three comics? Some guys were going, well, we got other spots. We got other this. So there's a whole debate about it. Me, I look at it as a place to go, have a couple of cocktails, go up and work on new stuff. But I'm at that age, you know, or at that point where I'm kind of like, you know, one of the more seasoned, you know, the seasoned comics. You know, and it's like I'm not doing anybody a favor being this. It's a favor to me. But, you know, I'll stay. I'll support, you know. But if I need to go or something like that, I'm going to go.
I mean, I
can't imagine why they would think that you would sit there and stay. I don't think that it's a matter of ego. It's a matter of self-respect.
Yeah.
And also, you know, hanging out there, I'll listen to the newer guys talk. And, for example, if like a comedy contest. We were talking about a comic. Oh, well, I'm going to do this spot. I hope I get it. I told them, sometimes a comedy contest is a popularity contest. However, they're beneficial because it's going to be the people that you meet there or auditions and stuff like that. And I bring up the two of you. I was in an improv group in Queens, and there was a new improv group that was starting in Jersey. And I met, you know, Davin, and I met Pip. We've been friends, what is it, going on 22 years.
Yeah.
I go, guys, that's from stuff like that. Contest to it. So, you know, don't worry about winning or whatever. Look at the, think of, you want to go to win. You want to just smoke everybody. But if you don't, it's the contacts. So I'll tell guys stuff that sometimes I don't know if they think I'm the old guy just rambling on. But, you know, to me, it sounds kind of corny. I owe comedy. Comedy doesn't owe me. I owe comedy because when I, you know, after my dad died, I was a lonely kid, and comedy is what kind of got me, you know, cheered me up, got me out of being lonely, you know, and I followed it and stuff like that. So I feel that I owe it. It doesn't owe me, even though, you know, you have your goals where you want to go. Sometimes you don't get there, but you look back and go, all right, I'm not going to Montreal. I'm not going to here, but I have a good time. It's fun. You know, there's a camaraderie there. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Joe, you have the floor.
Yes. Talking about camaraderie, there's a certain camaraderie that we have as friends, as entertainers with you, and Davin and the other comics. And it also goes over to the musicians that you work with. In a band, it's a family. It's a very dysfunctional family, Pip. I don't have to tell you that. But it's a family. You do gigs together. You play together. You hang out together. You laugh together. It's a family. You look forward to seeing each other. And that was the case with Sexy Susan. That was the case with Now or Never. And it was a case of Acoustic Odyssey. Now, who that was with Jen Bailey. And Jen was, I got to keep my shit together during this. Jen was one of the most phenomenal female singers I've ever heard. Her and Nicole Contessa, I mean, the both of them, are both phenomenal singers. And they were my friends. They were my pals. And, you know, we've been through thick and thin together, you know, Nicole. Now, Jen was Johnny Race's girlfriend. And he's been to the Race Odyssey gig. She sang with us. She did gigs with us when we fired the band. I mean, she was the sweetest person in the world. She did with Weight of the World, when we were doing the demo for Weight of the World, we were doing the musical version. Jen came by and she sang the songs, you know, and she was laughing at the jokes in the songs, which meant a lot. So with that in mind, Saturday night rolls around, and I'm getting ready for a gig with my old band, Emerald. We're playing a reunion party next Saturday. So I didn't have a gig this past weekend. I'm woodshedding. I'm doing like 10 hours in the music room doing stuff. So I take a break, and I see Johnny Race post, Lord, if you need to guide me through something, it's now. And I'm like, I wonder what's going on. Johnny's okay. So that's Saturday night. Sunday rolls over, and now I'm at my buddy Mike Klotz's house. Mike's our bass player in Emerald, and we're having an impromptu gathering. It's Mark on acoustic, Mark Negron on acoustic. You have Artie Dickey on acoustic, me behind a little piano, and Mike bass. Very informal. We're just going over the set list for the gig. I see Johnny post on Facebook, I can't believe you're gone, and it's a picture of Jen. And I'm like, I go, oh my God, I relive it every moment. And I go, oh my God, no. So I call John and I text, I go, John, what's going on? And he was saying, he goes, Jen came home, you know, Jen was off on Saturday. She was gigging for every weekend. And she goes, I'm looking forward to being off this Saturday. I'm just going to kick back and relax. And John went to go to work. He's a caterer. He came home at 11 o'clock at night, and she was gone. She was dead. They got the autopsy report today. She had congestive heart failure and had a heart attack in her sleep and died. Ugh. 55 years old.
How old? How old was she?
55.
Wow.
I spoke to my friend Nicole, who what makes it sadder than it is, not losing her, is the relationships people have with each other. Nicole, who in her own right is one of the most phenomenal singers I ever heard, her and Jen were partners in crime. And it would go, Jen groomed her, and you know, gave her the confidence. And the two of them together were unbelievable. I mean, they used to sing together in Sexy Susan. My heart aches for Nicole because she loved her to death. I wrote to Nicole a couple of times, and she's hanging in there. But I spoke to her, and she said, well, Jen was kind of, they said that she might have had heartburn during a week or something like that. So the Northern New Jersey music community is just, like, heartbroken. I mean, we're all trying to come to terms with this. And my guys here in Emerald, thank God, they were very very understanding, because I was on the phone. I was taking phone during the whole rehearsal. I was mostly on the phone in Mike's kitchen, you know, speaking with Nicole, speaking with, you know, Johnny and Mikey Coleridge, who played with us and Now or Never call, blah 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 blah. And my guys understood, and I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry. And I looked at them and I go, guys, it's like losing one of you. It would be the same thing if I lost one of you. I'm beside myself with this. Also, to add to it, is, like I said, it's a semi-acoustic setting. I've got my portable piano. The guys are there in their instruments. We got the small little lamps. We're in the living room. I can't get my mind off of it because this was what it was like at a Now or Never rehearsal. Me, Johnny Wahlberg, and Jen going over to, so it's not getting out of my head. Yesterday went by. I can't get it out of my head. I'm just beside myself with grief. It's just an awful thing. So much so, they're putting the plans together for the wake and everything. I don't know what it is. They're thinking it's next week. I got to see if it's this week. I'm supposed to go see my brother and my family this weekend. If God forbid this wake is on the way, I'm not going. I'm going to this wake. I can't. I am. My whole thing. I had a bad time turning 60. And my whole thing is, I lost my buddy Jim, who was my first friend growing up. My neighbor that you grew up next door to me, Jim, as well. We lost him in February. Lost Jen. My whole thing is, am I going to sit here in my 60s watching my friends die while I bide my own time when it's my time? So it's a very, you know, it's been very, I don't know, very, very weird, you know. And like I said, everybody, if you go on Facebook, everybody is just beyond heartbroken because she was one of the most sweetest people on the earth. And you look forward to going to Johnny's house to see her, going to the gig to see her. And there are a lot of people that are a constant in your life, a constant that they're there at some point in your life. My buddy Jim, Bones, we called him, was a constant. You know, you heard, see how he was doing. If there was a party, Bones is there. He's gone. Never going to see him again. You have a gig with Race Odyssey. You have a gig with Sexy Susan. You're going to Jersey for rehearsal. Jen was part of that constant. She's gone. That's like, God forbid, you know, God forbid anything happens to you guys. You know, you've been a constant. You're not there anymore. And as I get older, I have a hard time with that. I guess maybe it's a normal thing, but it really hits you. You know, it really hits you. And it's, you know, and like I said, getting back, you know, to Nicole, she has her band tuned up. And I know when she goes back with those guys, because Jen would come down, you're going up and you're entertaining people, and you know there's going to be a void there that Jen is never coming or showing up. You know, or if we get together and we do a Race Odyssey, because we were talking about putting Sexy Susan back together again. Johnny's got free time. We lost our drummer Jimmy Black. Before COVID, we were trying to get the band back, but we lost our drummer Jimmy Black. He died of a heart attack in his other band. You know, so, and Johnny wrote me that you know, he's talking to Gary, our bass player, and Sexy Susan's probably going to be getting back. But it's just, you know, it's just a shame. And everybody that she touched, from old friends that I knew to a lot of musicians, from John Wahlberg to Mike Messina, you know, with Frank Sky. Mike told me a story that it was before I joined the band, that they wanted to do an interview with Fragile Sky, wanted Mike to come in and talk about it and do acoustic things. And the singer at the time left, and he called Jen. Jen came in and sang about three Fragile Sky songs with him. So this is a woman that touched everybody, And we never said goodbye. I mean, obviously, at the wake of the service, we'll say goodbye. But never got a chance to hug her again and told her how much she meant to us and, you know, how much we loved her. And that's something, because basically with my sister-in-law died of cancer. And I had that chance before she, to hug her and say, whatever difference we had, I love you. I never forget, you know, I was. So when I was in front of the casket, it wasn't that bad, because I told her that, yeah, we had our differences, but I loved you like a sister. And you mean a lot to me. So, you know, it's been a rough couple of days. You know, and we're all just waiting to go to the service. And I'm gonna be very emotional there. And like I said, just the connection that she had with Nicole and what Nicole's going through. As soon as I see Nicole, I'm gonna lose it. I know I am. You know, and I guess that's just a normal thing. But you care about people. You got to care about who's around. So yeah. Rest in peace, Jen. You're very special. We're going to miss you.
All right.
Sorry, Joe.
Thanks.
All right.
Are you ready for your first comedian?
Yes, seriously. Jeez.
No, coming to the stage.
Yeah, that's happened. That's happened to me before.
Behind that fucking eight ball.
Yeah, been there, done that. Don't want to do that again. Well, the only thing I can say is, the last week that we were together, we lost a friend, Larry. Maybe he'll reappear at Jen's. So, you know, he's like a little leprechaun.
We lost Larry?
Well, yeah, none of us have ever seen him again. We went to his mother's wake.
Oh, God, don't worry. I've had it. Dude, I can't take more much of this shit. I can't stop. You know, I'm sick and tired of crying in front of caskets for fucking 4 months.
Crying in front of caskets would be a good name for a punk band.
Crying in front of caskets.
I'm done.
All right. Well, certainly our condolences to Jen and to you and Johnny.
And Johnny.
Johnny's another one. You know, I'm worried about Johnny. Was, you know, just a quick thing before the break, when I was talking with Johnny on Sunday, John was talking to Jen 2 weeks ago and said, look, you know, he goes, if I'm going to probably go before you. I, you know, when people give my eulogy, I want, like, my buddy that taught me, Randy Jackson, blah, blah, blah. I want, and Jen looked at him and said, that's bullshit. Just not even think of that. And Johnny looked at me and goes, how did I know 2 weeks later she's going to be gone? I'm supposed to go before her. I drink, I smoke, I, you know, and she's gone. it's just heartbreaking. It really is. But anyway.
But anyway, yes, Joe. But anyway,
what can you say? I'm out of tears. I'm out of talk. I don't know what to tell you.
There's nothing to say. That's why I was going to take a break, so you could
so
we could all recalibrate on that. So on the break, we do have music. Tom Sonic featuring Raphael Goldman with I Wonder Why. You can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And Egon Moylan with Dark Disco. And you can learn more about them at Flutter.
1, 2, 3.